You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up later, we'll find out why Wisconsin's obesity rate may actually be higher than we used to think. Right now, we're looking back at the year 2016 through the lens of science. It was a really big year in the world of astronomy. There was the detection of gravitational waves, the discovery of a new exoplanet neighbor, and more. Our friends at Discover Magazine have rounded up the top 100 science stories of 2016, and Bill Andrews joins us now to break down some of the top astronomy stories. He's a senior associate editor at Discover Magazine based in Waukesha. Bill, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you very much. It's good to be back.
Well, let's start with these gravitational waves. This is a big deal because this is something that Einstein, I guess, had used math to predict. Talk about what he was predicting and why it's such a big deal.
Sure. And I also just say this was a prediction he made in 1916. So the fact that we were able to confirm them and come out with this big finding in 2016 is a nice kind of poetic twist on this prediction finally coming true this year. And what he said was that part of his general theory of relativity, which is how he talked about how he described gravity and things with mass would just warp the space-time around them. Part of that theory suggested that significant enough massive collisions or kind of disturbances in the force, if you will send out ripples in that space-time. That's kind of the fabric of the universe. Everything is made up of this intertwined space-time stuff, and that's what everything is in the universe. And things that are big enough, like black holes colliding or big enough stars running into each other, will send out ripples in this space-time. And that's literally just warps in the fabric of space. It would be kind of the equivalent of the space between you and your computer monitor shrinking and warping, getting a little bigger as that ripple passes through you. Of course, the real ripples are much, much, much tinier than that. They would only warp the distance from Earth to the nearest star, about 25 trillion miles. All that would just get warped by the width of a human hair. So these gravitational waves are pretty tricky to find. That's why it took 100 years.
Right. And gravity, we think of it as this defining force, right? It keeps us, held down on the Earth here. Mm-hmm. But it's actually, as forces go, pretty weak. And this sort of thing, even of two black holes smacking into each other, it's really hard to detect. How hard was this to figure out with the instrumentation we have now?
Well, I guess the quick answer would be extremely. Like I said, it isn't easy to find a gravitational wave, and this comes after decades of searching them out, literally going after them explicitly, and only now being able to finally find evidence of them. It took the work of two twin observatories named LIGO, for Laser Interferometer Gravitational Wave Observatories. And basically, they have a kind of a really intricate laser setup to bounce off mirrors, and they have them go down long hallways. And with enough mirrors and enough bouncing, you can kind of get enough distance there where if there is a little ripple, if one of those little waves comes by, it would throw the alignment of that laser off just enough that they'd be able to tell something happened.
Now, we have an audio representation of these gravitational waves. Here's a listen. So pretty subtle stuff there. I don't know. Yeah. That's exactly what you'd hear if you were standing by those lasers. Talk a little more about LIGO. I understand this discovery and future discoveries from LIGO can tell us a lot about stars and black holes in particular.
Yeah, that's what's really exciting about this. So what the big announcement was this year in February was evidence of these gravitational waves coming from the merger of two black holes 1.3 billion light years away. So all this distance away, these massive black holes collided, turned two black holes into one black hole, and a lot of extra energy went off in the form of these waves. And 1.3 billion years later, it gets to us, and that's what they found. And that's pretty cool, not just on the physics front, being able to do this and finally being able to satisfy one of Einstein's final predictions, but the idea that now we have a way where we can directly observe black holes. I mean, the thing about black holes is that they're black, and the rest of space is black. They don't reflect light, they don't emit light. It's really tough to be to get any data on black holes directly, and now we finally have a way to do it. using gravitational waves, and LIGO is the first to do it, but now it looks like there's going to be more of these types of observatories going up all over the world. There's plans to get one in space that'll be really, really sensitive. I've been saying it's kind of the equivalent of discovering a new color, because now there's a new way that science can look at the heavens. It's a new way of being able to explore what's going out there in a way that doesn't use light. It doesn't use everything else that science has always had. This is an entirely new way to probe and study what's going on out there. So it's really exciting. Definitely our number one story.
This, I was going to say, this is your number one story, not in space science, but in science, period, for the year.
Absolutely. Number one for the year. I would say, I'll go out there and say, for me, this is number one of the decade.
Wow.
Maybe even the century. This is an amazing finding, and I've really been happy about it, just on a personal level. So you can imagine.
Talking to Bill Andrews from Discover Magazine, looking at some of the top astronomy stories of the year. Well, here's another one in our galactic neighborhood, our nearest neighbor. We found another new exoplanet, but this one's really close and maybe potentially in a habitable zone where we wouldn't expect to find it, around a red dwarf. Talk about this Proxima Centauri B.
Yeah, that's right. So
I'm saying that right.
Proxima Centauri B, but yeah, Proxima B is the name of this planet. And yeah, coming in from black holes billions of light years away, now we're coming into our relative neighborhood here. The sun's nearest star is this red dwarf named Proxima Centauri, about 4.2 light years away. So still pretty far away, like I said before, 25 trillion miles, but it's still the closest star that there is to the sun. So the fact that just the closest possible point for there even to possibly be an exoplanet has one, that's already kind of neat. That's a good sign. The fact that it is, as far as they can tell, it might be a rocky planet like Earth, about 1.3 Earth masses, they're thinking. Probably maybe Earth-sized, although they're not sure yet. So, and it is in its star's habitable zone, which means that liquid water could potentially exist on its surface. So already the closest that a planet could possibly be to the solar system, and it's in the habitable zone, it could be like Earth, although we don't know for sure yet, but it's very exciting.
Yeah, in recent years, I mean, there's always been the wonder, like, there's all these stars out there. Are any of them going to have planets, or are we weird and unique here in our solar system? And now that we're figuring out how to look for them, it turns out the galaxy's just lousy with planets. They're all over the place, right?
Yeah, exactly. All over the place. And what's extra exciting about this one is that even though we've been finding exoplanets everywhere, about 3,500 or so at last count, red dwarfs were kind of special because we didn't know if they'd be able to host planets that we'd be really interested in. And red dwarfs are the most abundant type of star in the Milky Way. They're about three-quarters of all the stars out there are red dwarfs. So to find a possibly, maybe Earth-like exoplanet around a red dwarf already tells us, hey, it's looking a lot better out there than we thought it would.
Well, let's find another planet now. We've got eight in our solar system since Pluto was demoted to a dwarf planet. Uh-oh, wait a minute. We might have a ninth. That was one of the other big stories this year. Why do we think we might, after all, have a ninth planet in our solar system?
Well, unfortunately, it all comes down to math. I know that's not always people's favorite subject, but that's what it really is that is saying, you know what, maybe there is another major ninth planet out there that we might be able to add to the solar system's role. And the interesting thing is one of the guys who discovered it, if you will, who predicted it mathematically, is this Caltech astronomer named Mike Brown, who is pretty significant in dethroning Pluto as an official planet. It was Mike Brown's efforts and his research that found all these other planetary-type objects out there that made Pluto less special. And so thanks to Mike Brown, Pluto isn't a major planet anymore. And now, thanks to Mike Brown, we think there might be a ninth planet out there. What he and a co-researcher did was look at some kind of weird orbits of other stuff out in the solar system and say, you know, these rocks, these weird objects are kind of clumping together in their orbits in an unusual way. And it looks like the most straightforward answer to why they're doing that is another planet, another kind of major planet out there, way farther than Pluto, about 10 times Earth's mass, So it's been called kind of a mini Neptune, and now it's all a matter of just pointing the telescopes at the right place and trying to find it.
And that highlights this thing that I love. Once you get out past Pluto, we don't really know what's going on out there. This is a real mystery zone, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And Pluto, if people still feel really bad about Pluto being demoted as a planet, you can take heart because it is the first Kuiper Belt object, which is also pretty special. That's this zone out there beyond Uranus and Neptune, these weird icy, they thought they were kind of dead, you know, they would have to be dead objects with no activity, but when the New Horizons probe went out past Pluto and it saw all this weird stuff on it and activity and glaciation and other stuff, it turns out maybe this zone of the Kuiper Belt objects is a lot more interesting than we thought.
And Pluto looks more interesting, I think, thanks to New Horizons, a hidden ocean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and which, as you can imagine, that's the farthest out former planet. It's no way the sun could heat up anything on its surface. Astronomers didn't think they would find any kind of activity out there. And when I say activity, I don't mean alien activity. I mean, you know, geologic-type activity. But as it turns out, when the New Horizons probe flew past it last year, it saw all kinds of weird, unexpected activity and formations and glaciers and all this weird stuff. And astronomers have been studying all that data nonstop since it went by last year. We're going to be hearing new Pluto information for years to come because it was so much information is coming from that. And, yeah, it turns out that the evidence suggests there is an underground ocean out on Pluto or out in Pluto's surface. And it isn't the kind of place where we necessarily want to take a dip. Of course, it'd be super cold. It's very salty and filled with ammonia and all kinds of other unpleasant chemicals. But the idea that there's kind of a sloshing activity underneath Pluto's surface and that it's slowly freezing as we speak, not that it's been frozen, but it is currently freezing, and that's causing cracks in the surface of Pluto to form, kind of like if you leave a soda can in the freezer for too long. It'll freeze, it'll kind of break out. What's the can? It'll mess it up. That's what's going on Pluto's surface.
All right, all that, plus so there was an ice volcano on Ceres in the asteroid belt, evidence of past tsunamis on Mars. Just in our last few seconds, Bill, what are you looking forward to in 2017 that we might learn next?
I have to say it's just everything is looking so great. I'm hoping maybe for more gravitational waves, more information on Pluto and Ceres and Mars. We've got a lot of fires cooking, and I'm really anxious just to see all the great stuff that comes out of them.
Bill, looking forward to next year along with you then. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. My pleasure.
That's Bill Andrews, Senior Associate Editor at Discover Magazine based in Waukesha. Joined us with some of the top astronomy news from 2016. You can hear more from the Year in Science next Monday at this time with Gemma Tarlak. Coming up after the news, we'll find out why Wisconsin's obesity rate is higher than we thought it was not that long ago. What's being done about it, too? By the way, thank you to everyone who contributed during our year-end membership drive. More than 2,000 listeners pledged. You donated more than $300,000. Thank you so much. Stick around. More to come on Central Time. This is the Ideas Network.